Sharing the secrets of anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being, this is Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Sure enough, they got my name right. Huh, so did my parents. That was their name. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, this is indeed Jonathan Wright, Dr. Wright, according to the University of Michigan. And this is indeed Green Medicine Radio. I might have mentioned this before, but it's been a while. Did you know that your right to privacy in your medical records doesn't exist if the physician or healthcare organization you visit accepts insurance payment directly or maintains electronic medical records? No, I'm not kidding. No privacy at all. If any details of your health or health care are of special concern to you, be careful what you say and where, maybe even at the doctor's office. Here's from a letter mistakenly faxed to Tahoma Clinic by, guess who? Regents Blue Shield. Don't know why they did that. We don't work with insurance companies. We work for you, not for the insurance company. Anyway, here's what the letter said. Regents Blue Shield is currently collecting information from our affiliated providers. Now, likely they meant physicians, in as much as all of our mothers were healthcare providers when we were young. Anyway, our affiliated providers. The data is collected from randomly selected medical records. How do you like that? Your medical record could be selected at random. A list of needed medical records is attached. You must. They didn't capitalize must, I just yelled it. You must provide records free of charge. Your agreement, which fortunately we have none, but anyway, this is what they send to the physicians out there. Your agreement with Regents Blue Shield requires your participation. Fortunately, for those who visit Tahoma Clinic physicians, Tahoma Clinic has no agreements with Regents Blue Shield or any other third party. As I mentioned before, we work for you. This information is not being collected to help evaluate payment for your personal health care. To repeat, this information is being collected from randomly selected medical records. And that's not me talking. That's Regents Blue Shield writing. Not to us, of course. They just faxed it to the wrong place. Oh my, back to the message, which went on like this. According to the HIPAA or HIPAA privacy rule, watch out. When Los Federales use the word privacy, you know what's coming. So, according to the privacy rule, healthcare providers, again likely referring to physicians. As I mentioned, my mother was my healthcare provider when I was little, and she didn't get any of these kind of letters. Anyway, healthcare providers or physicians may disclose protected health information to health plans. How do you like that? At random, as defined under the HIPAA privacy rule. They call that a privacy rule. I think we know that what government agencies say is exactly the opposite of what happens many times. Now, here's the really quote-unquote good part. Providers, otherwise known as physicians, are permitted by HIPAA to disclose personal health plans without an authorization from a patient. Woohoo! That's the federal privacy law. When both the provider, physician, and health plan have or have had a relationship with the patient. And winding up on this faxed letter from Regents Blue Shield, your agreement with Regents Blue Shield requires your participation. They said that once already, didn't they? Well, repeating that, your private healthcare information must be disclosed to your insurance company even when selected at random. Woof, be careful what you say. That may get into your medical records and may have nothing to do with your own healthcare. At Tahoma Clinic, we work for you, not for an insurance company. We don't give up records at random or not to insurance companies, nor to government agencies. Your medical records can only be accessed without your permission if we are presented by a warrant based on probable cause and signed by a judge, as specified in the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of these United States. At Tahoma Clinic, we respect the original guarantee of privacy in your medical records. Oh, dear. If you didn't know about that, and you're listening, now you do. Okay, sorry about this, but returning to last week's request to all listeners to consider going online to all those W's and ANH-USA.org. That's ANH-USA.org. And scroll down until you see the title, Doctors Gagged as Feds Launch Censorship Campaign. This campaign totally ignores freedom of speech guaranteed to all of us by the First Amendment to the Constitution. If allowed to continue, it could possibly try to eliminate freedom of speech right here on Green Medicine Radio and even in printed in Green Medicine Newsletter. Here's the message coming from the Alliance for Natural Health. Quote, your right to learn from your doctor about natural medicine methods of staying healthy during the coronavirus pandemic are under threat. We must fight back. The FDA, FTC, Department of Justice, that's what they call it anyway, and some state attorneys general have launched a coordinated censorship campaign that prevents medical and naturopathic doctors from communicating their extensive knowledge about how to stay healthy during the pandemic using natural medicine. The actions of these federal agencies will lead to more COVID-19 infections and death. Yeah, if you can't get the information out there about what to do about these sort of things, then more people are likely to die. So, ANH, or Alliance for Natural Health, then writes, we need to fight back to preserve our right to stay healthy naturally. The FDA and FTC sent more than 100 warning letters. Can you believe that? 100 warning letters saying to doctors, clinics, and companies, effectively, shut up. These letters all allege that companies or individuals were illegally advertising that certain products treat or prevent coronavirus or related conditions, such as inflammation, and or making claims on their websites implying that a product could mitigate, prevent, treat, diagnose, or cure coronavirus or related conditions in people, which would make the product an unapproved drug. I wonder if George Washington and folks like that thought that the real meaning of the federal government was to, quote, approve drugs, unquote. Well, anyway, making the product an approved drug under the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. In reviewing many of these letters, what becomes clear is this isn't about public health, but rather censoring scientific information about natural products. And that protects the profits of patent medicine companies, doesn't it? One letter sent to a nutritionist who had talked about a recent study that's called research, folks, showing that the severity of coronavirus patient outcome was tied to the patient's vitamin D status. And I know you can imagine how. The lower the vitamin D, the more likely you were to have a severe problem, and the higher the vitamin D, the less likely. The post by the nutritionist concluded this way. The bottom line, in order to give yourself the best defense against the coronavirus, begin with optimizing your vitamin D status. Well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. We should optimize it anyway, shouldn't we? But not according to Los Federales. They think vitamin D is now a public health threat. Is that what they think? Or why would they be sending letters, particularly to the nutritionist who posted about vitamin D? Government censors also didn't like it when doctors wrote that vitamin D has demonstrated efficacy for respiratory health and has anti-inflammatory properties. Or here comes another letter to somebody who quoted a scholarly paper that argues that melatonin at low doses like a half or 1 milligram a day might curb the virulence of the coronavirus. Oh, no, 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 said the letter. You can't be telling people that. Melatonin is an approved drug. Well, excuse me, I think melatonin is approved by nature to be in human bodies. That should be worth something. The FTC is even flagging claims about the use of natural substances to fight respiratory infections and support immunity. An issue for many of these letters is the idea that according to the FTC, which is the Federal Trade Commission here, it is unlawful to advertise a product that can prevent, treat, or cure human disease unless you possess competent and reliable scientific evidence. FTC has interpreted this to mean, they interpreted that, huh? Not just that it's published in a scientific publication, but they've interpreted to mean you need a randomized controlled trial, which involves hundreds of people and is an impossible standard because of cost for everyone but patent medicine companies. Alliance for Natural Health goes on to write, we believe these kinds of actions are really meant to preserve the patent medicine industry, except they said the drug industry monopoly, on medicine. In 2015, the Tufts University Center for Study of Drug Development reported in the New England Journal of Medicine that the cost of, quote, approval, unquote, by FDA for a new drug is $2.6 billion. Yeah, and that was half a decade ago. Well, folks, let's all work through anh-usa.org. That's anh-usa.org to fight against this censorship and protect freedom of speech about health care. Please. If we can't have freedom of speech about health care, or freedom of writing or broadcasting, then how are we ever going to learn lots of the things we need to know about how to take care of our health? We're certainly not going to be told by the people who make billions of dollars from patent medicines, are we? No, we are not. So please go to all the W's, .anh-usa.org. Scroll down, not too very far, until you see the title, Doctors Gagged as Feds Launch Censorship Campaign. And right there is a pre-done message. If you don't want to write your own message, or you don't feel up to it, or don't have the time, a pre-done message, and if you put in your postal code, and then just go click, that message is going to go not only to your two United States senators and your U.S. representative, it's also going to be sent, guess where, to the president, our current president, of course, Mr. Trump. And it will also be sent to your state governor. Imagine that. Yes, anh-usa.org is really going out in where they're sending that message. And by the way, if you don't want to send that exact message, you can alter it any way you want. You can put in your own message. But they're really going all out to try to protect freedom of speech about natural health care. Okay, now here's another thing for today. If you happen to be an Amazon shopper and enjoy contributing small amounts to a worthwhile charity, the Amazon Smile Foundation, that's Amazon Smile Foundation, which will come up when you're shopping at Amazon, allows shoppers now to select the Tahoma Clinic Foundation. No, that is not the Tahoma Clinic. That is the Tahoma Clinic Foundation, registered as a nonprofit 501c3 foundation in Washington State. And what does that foundation do? Two things. One of them is to fund research on neglected but safe natural products to demonstrate that they are good for our health. Just for example, Tahoma Clinic Foundation funded a project that showed that 37 out of 40 people with bursitis, 37 out of 40, were totally cured by giving themselves vitamin B12 shots at home. I am not kidding. That research was actually a repeat of something that came out in the 1950s, which showed that vitamin B12 injections would cure bursitis. But it was thoroughly neglected, so the foundation funded research which proved the same thing, 37 out of 40. Yep, and there's a reason for that that I won't go into now. Well, why does the B12 help? Just simply because we don't have the time. But consider, if you're shopping on Amazon, select Amazon Smiles, and Amazon donates a very small proportion, but get a bunch of very small proportions, it helps. A very small proportion of the money that they've collected, they donated to the Tahoma Clinic Foundation. So thank you in advance for helping us to do the research and get the word out about safe, natural, and effective treatments. Okay, and don't forget Green Medicine Online at all those W's and greenmedicineonline.com. Just go to, all those W's and greenmedicineonline.com. Click here for archive shows. Click on any you're displayed and scroll through for any program or any segment of any program you want. You can also click for 2019 shows, 2018, 2017, as far back as the radio program goes. There's tabs for topics, hosts, the Tahoma Clinic YouTube channel, the Tahoma Clinics, and the contact in the link tab. We can't forget to thank volunteer webmaster John DeBlaiso, who organized and maintained that Green Medicine Online website for years. And now, thank you to George Saxton, who does the same. Consider visiting all the W's in greenmedicineonline.com, and why not recommend it to friends with health problems? And you know what? It's time for me to shut up.
Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
We've all heard of using curcumin as a spice, but in the March issue of the Green Medicine newsletter, Dr. Wright gives a detailed look at the many health benefits that curcumin provides. He quotes a renowned doctor who shares that curcumin is by far one of the most powerful antioxidants known to science, hundreds of times more powerful than blueberries and dark chocolate. In addition, studies reveal that curcumin can lessen or eliminate depression, prevent Alzheimer's and other dementia, reduce obesity, and much more. Subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter for the full article and for other health insights. Visit greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477. That's 602-252-4477. The Green Medicine Newsletter at greenmedicinenewsletter.com. Do you have questions about dietary supplements? Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary has more than 20 years of experience studying scientific literature that supports the many uses for dietary supplements. Tawny has a master's degree in nutrition, and she's definitely an expert in dietary supplements and the science behind them. If you have any general questions about supplements mentioned on today's show or any other supplement questions, call Tahoma Dispensary at 888-893-6878 and ask for Tawny. That's 888-893-6878. Supplements can be used to add nutrients to your diet to potentially lower your risk of health problems like osteoporosis or arthritis. If you have specific questions regarding nutrition and supplements for your particular situation, call Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary, 888-893-6878. That's 888-893-6878.
Sharing the secrets to anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being. You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Well, yeah, I do think I'm here. Oh, my, we've got Elizabeth and Laura and Bob and Steve, so I best shut up and listen to Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Dr. Wright. I was wondering, do you ever give health advice for babies?
I did that a lot back in the 70s and 80s. I was actually, late 70s, I should say, I was actually even helping catch women's babies at home. So I got a little bit of experience here.
I was lucky 8 years ago when I caught a granddaughter, so that was a surprise. But anyway, I called you because I have a seven-month-old granddaughter who seemed after about 2 weeks of birth to just, she would start whimpering in her sleep and wake up. And anyway, she was checked and checked. And then this last week, we took her to someone who said, well, this baby has acid reflux. And the reason she wakes up whimpering is because you lay her down and that sphincter hasn't developed properly where it closes off. And so we've started putting her more in a little swing to sit her upright. But my daughter was actually told that she could not outgrow this until she's about 2 years old. But I don't know if there's a way that you can help them along, or if that's the right diagnosis.
Well, how did they make that diagnosis that sphincter wasn't working? Did they go down there with something and measure the acidity, or what?
No, it's interesting. I forget what the lady is.
She's a naturopath.
She's not. She has some special. So we went down to Utah. This lady does. It's not a reflexology. She did something, and she felt all through her abdomen and said how tight her organs were, and kind of worked her a little bit. And so they didn't do any diagnostic where you go down and look. But that was what she told my daughter. She said.
Okay.
And after she had massaged her somewhat, the next couple of days, the baby was sleeping so much better. But now she's kind of reverted a little bit back. But what she asked her was really specific, and it's exactly what she was doing. You could tell she'd get comfortably asleep. They'd lay her down flat. Then she'd start to whimper and wake up crying. And they should have bought stock in the gripe water, because I'm telling you, they put more gripe water down that baby. So anyway, what do you do? What do you do?
Okay. Is she being strictly breastfed, or is she being fed anything that isn't from breast milk?
She was breastfed until the last month, and now she's started making her own home stuff. She's giving her, you know, every 3 days she introduced a new food, and she's really a good little eater. But she's never been on any formula. It's always been breast milk. But, you know, like I said, it was about 2 weeks. And, of course, she was breastfed for 6 months. There was nothing else. So just after her 6 month birthday, they started giving her, you know, baby food, grinding it up.
Well, there's the problem, ma'am, right there. It's very likely that she is sufficiently allergic to one of those non-human milk foods, which one should not be feeding babies at 6 months.
She did not give her anything but breast milk for 6 months. And this
that's what I said. And after 6 months, one should not be introducing anything besides breast milk either.
Okay.
You just shouldn't. Here's why, ma'am. There was a doc who published in 1931 or two the results of pumping the acid from the stomachs of, guess what, asthmatic children. And what that doc found is that 80% of asthmatic children didn't have enough acid in their tummies. He actually pumped them out. He was at the hospital for allergic and other diseases of childhood. What happens, and it's usually the milk and dairy that's the culprit, is that when we are allergic to a food and we get it in there before we should start eating non-breast milk, what it literally can do, and I'm not saying it does that to everyone, but it literally can do, is to destroy enough of the stomach lining so that the stomach can't make sufficient acid. Now, how that leads to heartburn was determined by, this was published in 1980, by a physician over in the UK named Giles, who very carefully put little swabs with different amounts of acid in them down to touch the gastric sphincter, the one that goes between the stomach and the esophagus. And what he found is the stronger the acid, the more it closed. And the weaker the acid, the less it closed. And when we've had a food down there destroying our stomach lining, I'm sorry, we can't make enough acid to close the sphincter. And so the small amount of acid that remains, that small amount of acid leaks back out through that sphincter because it isn't closed, and it gives us heartburn. So if it is true, and by the way, yes, I am going to do a slight rant here. You probably know that there are literally billions of dollars being made on acid-blocking medications for adults. And if they would just, yes, and if they would simply recognize this research by Giles, why, their entire market would go away, because acid reflux is due to not enough acid in the stomach. It's not due to too much acid. So if there were any way possible here, since we're hardly ever allergic to mommy's milk, to stop putting in all those foods that did not come from mommy's breasts until we're about a year old and maybe are better able to tolerate them, if there were any way to stop that, oh my goodness, it would really help that stomach acid, the stomach's capability of making enough acid to close the sphincter. And in the meantime, I know this sounds nasty to do to a small child, but in the meantime, they might want to consider doing one of those tests where you find out what it is your body is reacting to. It's called a blood spot. You do have to poke somebody in the finger or toe or wherever and put a spot of blood on the cardboard. But what they can tell from that is what it is that you're allergic to, and you can quit ingesting the food that you're allergic that messed up your stomach to make it so that the acid is too low to close the sphincter. So if that doctor's right, and it sounds like she might be, can't say for certain, but she might be, and this is acid reflux, then what we have to do is get the stomach to repair itself, and that can only be done if we get the foods out of there that we're allergic to. And secondly, if we go back to mother's milk, that's a real big help because nobody's ever much allergic to mother's milk. I rarely hear about that. I'm sorry, ma'am, but this is a little more complicated. And stopping, and for everybody who's listening, stopping breastfeeding at 6 months is not a good idea. That's
well,
not what
hasn't
nature intended.
Breastfeeding her, but do you think it's got to be?
Well, okay, I should have said putting in the foods that aren't breast milk. My mistake. You go ahead.
Her baby started reacting to something she was eating. Now this daughter doesn't eat dairy. She's very careful with that, and she kind of messed around with changing her diet, and. She never really did pinpoint the baby, and she doesn't eat chocolate. Usually chocolate and dairy are big offenders.
For her, huh?
So anyway, since this baby started doing this, you know, after she was 2 weeks old, it's just been really baffling because, you know, all she was getting was breast milk. And so that has to be, because I know I had a baby, I had to stop dairy. She was having trouble, and it made a big difference. But I guess
okay.
Really, so, poking the baby would be the best way to tell what she's reacting to?
Yes, and unfortunately so. And I'm sorry I misunderstood, ma'am, as to when this started. But it all sounds like a very typical acid reflux caused by not enough acidity.
Yeah, okay. And we just weren't smart enough to figure out which food she's reacting to because, like I said, she was 6 months just breast milk. And then... And like we tried because we knew that there were issues with food that you take that could be expressed in the baby, but she had these problems just from like a couple of weeks.
Well, so, one thing okay. You might think about doing, ma'am, is aloe vera gel is quite healing, and if you can get some aloe vera gel down into the baby, it's one of several things that you'll learn if you call Tama Dispensary and ask for the stomach. Rebuilding protocol. They'll send you that for free. They're not trying to sell you anything. They'll send you it for free by email or postal service or lack of service, whichever it is. And aloe vera is in there. It really helps to heal. And I'm just guessing, but I'm guessing it would be
okay.
One of the easier things to get down a child, infant, I should say.
I stopped by there and picked stuff up with your dispensary. So if I asked them if I was picking something up, they could just put that brochure in there, right?
You bet.
Not open yet. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for your time. I'll let somebody else ask you a question, and we'll keep looking this because I'd never heard you talk about babies, so I thought I'll just throw that out there. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad you did, ma'am. I've worked with lots of mothers and infants. Yes, I have. Okay, so let's see. Laura and Bob and Steve are waiting, and yes, it's almost time for the break, but not quite. So, Laura, at least we can get the question in.
Hi, Dr. Wright.
Hello.
Hope all is well. I have two questions. One, first one is very short. I just developed noticed on my arm and in the gum, in the inner part of my mouth, red round spots. They are like blood. You know, feels very close to the skin spots, and I wonder what is that an indication of?
Well, ma'am, it sounds like a weak blood vessel that has now become visible because it's not able to, what shall I say, be as strong as it should be and resist all the blood flow. Excuse me for asking, but how old are you this year, ma'am?
I am, let's say, past 60.
Okay, past 60. Well, that does mean that menopause has very likely happened, and one of the things to consider is checking with a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine about bioidentical hormones. Why? Because one of the bioidentical hormones is even in women's hormone replacement is testosterone, And you probably, and of course, in a woman's dose, not in a guy's dose. And as everybody knows, the heart and the blood vessels are totally reliant on testosterone to stay strong and healthy, ma'am. So that's one thing to consider, would be checking with the doc who knows what they're doing with bioidentical hormone replacement. Now, the other one is that even though it's not as strong as the testosterone, there's this stuff called Hawthorn Gel. It's made by a company called Wise Woman. And Hawthorn has been known for, no kidding, centuries to strengthen blood vessels. I doubt it does it as well as testosterone does, because testosterone is produced inside of human bodies by testicles and ovaries, and Hawthorn isn't. But even so, that can strengthen blood vessels. Now, it's not going to take away those little, they look like a blood vessel protruding, just an edge of a blood vessel protruding wet spots. But what it's very likely to do, either the testosterone or the Hawthorn, if it strengthens the vessels enough, you're likely to stop getting new ones as much.
I must tell you that 2 months ago I bought the Hawthorn,
Hooray!
The gel-filled things. But the problem is I'm blood type 2. Okay, my blood type is A plus, and my acidity cannot take it in the stomach. It doesn't produce enough to take it, so it's very, very damaging as far as, and I only took maybe 3-4 of those pills, and then I had to stop.
Sorry you had poor luck with that. I think about the testosterone in the bioidentical hormone replacement for women then, because it's even stronger, and your ovaries made it for the whole time you were menstruating, ma'am.
Okay, I am not anymore. I haven't for 20 years, and I'm not taking any hormones. Dr. Wright, may I please ask you to speak a little bit away from the microphone? It sounds like it's, you know, I cannot hear very well what you were saying. So
okay, my mistake.
I would like to listen to every word you're saying, please.
Well, okay. I mentioned checking with a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine who knows what they're doing with bioidentical hormone replacement, because part of bioidentical hormone replacement for women, not just for men, is a woman-sized amount of testosterone, the same that she had when her ovaries were secreting it in her 30s and 40s and so forth. And that strengthens blood vessels, and it's very unlikely that you'd be sensitive to it, because every woman who has ovaries is making testosterone, and hardly ever does anybody have a reaction to that.
I would really, really look into it, and I really appreciate, because you're a very sensitive indicator of everything that is going on. The second question, I need really your input in it. I have
Okay, ma'am, can you hold on till after the break? You can hear the music starting there. Thank you.
Yes, I will, doctor. Thank you.
Have you heard about Tea Builder? Tea Builder contains 10 ingredients, each chosen because research studies reported that 9 of Tea Builder's 10 ingredients stimulates men's own bodies to produce more testosterone and or free testosterone. What does the 10th ingredient do? That 10th ingredient is nature's original molecular version of Viagra. Of course, Viagra is not only more potent, but also patentable, more expensive, and has potential adverse effects. T-Builder, which helps men's bodies make more testosterone, is a safe, effective alternative, and it's not pricey. A 30-day supply, one bottle of 150 capsules, is $29.95. If your entire order is over $35, your shipping is free. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 for T-Builder. The formulation that helps men's bodies make more testosterone. Call 1-888-893-6878.
Dr. Jonathan Wright's SunPal is a multivitamin, antioxidant, mineral, and amino acid formulation comprised of nutrients that exert a positive effect on the structure and function of skin. It significantly reduces the risk of skin cancer. This all-natural, research-based supplement was created based on the work of Neva Shapira, Ph.D. Dr. Shapira pointed out in her brilliant article in Nutrition Reviews that the melanoma skin cancer rate in Greece was less than the melanoma skin cancer rate in Australia. Both countries provide plenty of sunshine, so why the difference? Many of the nutrients in the Greek diet, which aren't present in the Australian diet, significantly reduce the risk of melanoma and other skin cancers. SunPal contains the majority of these missing ingredients. Dr. Wright supports this belief, so go ahead and enjoy the outdoors again this summer and every time you're outside. Go to TahomaDispensary.com That's TahomaDispensary.com or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. 1-888-893-6878.
If you want a better tan this summer, you need to check out Dr. Jonathan Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. It's loaded with amino acids, vitamins, and copper that increases the body's ability for melanin production. Even the fairest skinned people will be able to tan to a noticeable degree. Take advantage of your body's own natural tanning chemistry to prolong the length of time you spend in the sun before you start to turn pink. The latest science-determined nutrients will offer skin support and allow you to develop a healthy, natural glow. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. TahomaDispensary.com or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. That's 1-888-893-6878. Dr. Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. Order now by calling 1-888-893-6878. That's 1-888-893-6878. Fair skin folks, this is your ray of sunshine. Tan Pal. Call 1-888-893-6878.
And now, back to Green Medicine, here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Yep, and here's Laura. What was your other question, ma'am?
Hi, SIBO. Was diagnosed by hydrogen test. Had very bad manifestations as far as, you know, stomach, blah, 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 bloating, everything. Took the one course of the antibiotic, the Refle, whatever, the typical traditional one that is taken at that time, and then was again performed the hydrogen test and showed that I still have it. Now, I researched a little bit on lime, peppermint oil, and started taking it when my doctor gave me a choice whether to return to antibiotic courses, which have to be done diligently in the course of every month or every 2 weeks, or to try this, which I actually suggested I would like to try peppermint oil. What is your knowledge of SIBO and elimination? Do you think that peppermint oil is any way effective? Because I did do also, besides the hydrogen test, the test of serum foliate was performed, and it was double the rate. So it was high. So do you suggest that I continue with, I already finished one bottle of peppermint oil, I'm on my second one, and I haven't done the repeat foliate acid test. What do you think would be the best course of action on that? Because my bacterial overgrowth in my body is a result of antibiotic tetracycline that was given to me as a candy as a child, and I have candida all over, blah, blah, blah. So it's not new. And the adverse reactions of antibiotics are very well known, so I don't know if it will help or not.
Yes, ma'am, and we can't know whether this is strictly due to bacteria or whether it's due to that candida that you just mentioned, because it's perfectly possible for candida to be living inside the intestines. It doesn't just strike folks vaginally and on the tongue and in the throat and contributing to the problem, too. So, fortunately, if you're not allergic to peppermint oil, there's no harm in trying it. I haven't seen any research done on it, though. What I'd be suggesting is that you check with a doctor skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine and asking them about a test which specifically identifies which bad guy bacteria and also good guy bacteria and whether or not candida is living in the intestines in large quantities. Now, candida was found in the 1800s to be a little bit of a resident of human intestines, but not much. These days, it's found to be sometimes overwhelming the intestines. And what the test does is it checks in the urine. It's such a simple one. One gets a little test tube from the laboratory and in the morning urinate in there and close it all up and put it in the box that's approved by the Postal Service and send it back. And one gets back a report. It does take 10 to 14 days that says something like this. Oh, my gosh, look at all that candida you've got. Or, because what they're testing is for the output of candida that, oddly enough, mostly doesn't plop into the toilet. It mostly gets reabsorbed into the human body. It comes out through the kidneys. They'll also tell you how many good guy bacteria you have. They do the same way. They check for the effluent. Basically, everything that lives takes in nutrition and puts out waste products. And so what they're doing is they're checking for those waste products from good guy bacteria. You may simply not have enough good guy bacteria. That's a possibility. They're checking for the waste products from bad guy bacteria, a variety of sorts, particularly Clostridia. And then they're checking for the waste products from not only Candida yeast and fungus, but other yeast and fungus. Now, once you have that kind of a report, it is easier for a doctor who knows what they're doing in natural medicine to tell you this, this, and this might help. For example, one of the better research ones has been used in Oriental medicine for years. It's called oregano oil. It's also been used in Italian medicine. Half my family's Italian. Oregano oil kills a whole bunch of bad guy bacteria without messing with good guy bacteria. And it even can come in a tablet form, because oregano oil really stings on my tongue anyway. I don't know about everybody else's. It comes in a tablet form that's just titled on the bottle. It just says ADP. That's it. Three letters, ADP. Of course, they're not allowed to tell you what it's for. That would be making a claim, and we can't have that. But ADP tablets, once they get in the stomach, they melt. And now they're oregano oil, and that oregano oil gets after a lot of the bad guy bacteria. I did not say it gets after the Candida, I wish, but there's other things for that, and I'll shut up.
Doctor, the test that you're referring to, is it the Obermeier test, the urine indicant test?
Not at all. It's called the urinary organic acid test. I should say microbial. I said the wrong thing there. Microbial organic acid test. It's abbreviated with the first initials, M-O-A-T. But if you put microbial organic acid test into your search engine, you'll very likely find the laboratory that does it.
Okay, well, Questlab usually do everything, so.
I doubt they do that one, ma'am. We have to send it off to a lab in somewhere in the United States Middle West, but check it out. Maybe they do.
M-O-A-T, right? Microbial overgrowth?
No, microbial organic.
Oh,
microbial
okay.
Organic acid test, because these are organic acids put out by microbes.
Okay. I went to, all just to tell you the extent that I went to. I went off all the milk products. The only thing I do is ghee butter. Everything else I have eliminated. And I've also eliminated all the carbs as far as, was gluten intolerant before, but I took everything out, including potatoes.
Okay,
but
ma'am. Now, that leads to... That leads to another test. If you were gluten intolerant before, there is something weird going on in nature that causes cross-reactivity, and all that means is acting as if it were gluten when it's really not gluten. It's called a gluten cross-reactivity test, and the lab that does that one is in Arizona. And if Quest sends to there, that's fine too, but you might put into your search engine gluten cross-reactivity test to find that laboratory.
Yeah, I'm writing it. You can hear my tapping in the phone while we talk. Thank you so much.
Okay, ma'am.
I cannot thank you enough, doctor. All the very best to you and my deepest gratitude. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you, ma'am. And thanks for calling. Nobody's ever discussed that one before, and it's good to get the word out. It's time for me to shut up again and listen to Bob here. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Wright.
Hello, sir.
Yes, a question. You've been recovering from an accident about 3.5 years ago, which affected the neck, shoulder, and lower back.
Ow.
And... yeah, I had about 20 pounds of muscular atrophy. And finally, after about 3 years, doctor gave me a go-ahead to return to the gym. And I was recovering extremely fast, especially for my age. I was feeling real good when the COVID-19 episode came along. The gym was shut down. So I started out just trying to do some stuff at home. And most of my gym stuff is in storage, just working with some unequal weights. I think I may have kind of tweaked the back a little bit. And usually with exercise, you can kind of self-align. But just recently here, about 4 days ago, there was a bunch of stress. And I ended up experiencing tachycardia.
Uh-oh.
Which, yeah, and I've experienced that a few times doing STP bike rides. And over the years, I find out that this seems to be kind of normal for some athletes. You get symptoms with some PVTs, et cetera.
Okay.
And usually it's back off for a while, everything recovers.
So what's the question, sir? You go ahead.
Yeah, the tachycardia has returned, and it's kind of occasionally throughout the day I'll see where the pulse would get down, you know, 65, 75, pretty close to normal. But for the most part, it'd be kind of idling right up there on the border of tachycardia, you know, i.e. around 100, 105.
Okay.
Blood pressure typically is very good area, which most of my life it's always been extremely good.
Give me some numbers, sir.
Usually as far as blood pressure, that part would be staying, you know, maybe 105 over 60.
Okay, there's the problem right there, sir. You've just told me the problem. 105 over 60 is considered normal, but it is lower than most people. No kidding. And you have episodes of tachycardia. You put two and two together, and what usually is found, and I'd see a doc skilled in knowledge of medicine to natural medicine to verify this, what usually found is that the adrenal glands, the part that makes cortisol, is weak. That's part of why the blood pressure, and the cortisol is the major stress fighter for all of us, as you probably know, but it's kind of weak. And if the adrenal glands are not capable of making enough cortisol, guess what they have to rely on? It's called adrenaline. That's why it's called adrenaline. It's made in the adrenal glands, too. And here comes tachycardia. So when I hear about somebody whose blood pressure is 105 over something with episodes of tachycardia, that person needs a doctor who knows what they're doing, skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine. And to start with, no kidding, we'll measure what the adrenal output is of the cortisol and cortisone and all the different adrenal hormones. We almost always in this situation find out that it's on the low side. I did not necessarily say it wasn't there, but it's on the low side. And we pay attention to a book written by a professor from one of the California universities called Safe Uses of Cortisol. And we start that person on low but safe, I did say safe, doses of cortisol. They're really quite low, and they're not a patent medicine like Decadron or anything. And what do you know? They quit having tachycardia attacks because they haven't got enough cortisol around their body. And the next thing to do is to rebuild those adrenals so that they can make their own cortisol. It doesn't have to be taken from the outside. Now, I can't tell you I'm 100% correct on this, sir, but I've heard about it enough times before and worked with it enough times before that I'd really recommend you check with somebody who knows what they're doing in this, and skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine, and see if that's not the case. Or if it is.
And that title again was Safe Doses of Cortisol?
No, Safe Uses.
Uses.
Safe Uses of Cortisol. And the author is William Jefferies, spelled J-E-F-F-E-R-I-E-S. William Jefferies. He was a professor.
Fantastic. That kind of seems like I got the suspicion that once again you've made a home run.
Well, sir, it's not a home run, unfortunately, because I've worked with enough people. It's mostly women, but there are a small percentage of men with that weakness in making cortisol to hear about it quite a lot. So, anyway, do you know how to find a doctor who's skilled in knowledgeable in natural medicine? You go to either acam.org and click on Find a Physician. And then you read about what that physician does at each of the physicians' summary of their practice. Or I should say, you go to all the W's and naturopathic, that's naturopath with an IC after it, .org, and follow the same procedure to find a doc.
And how about to all my clinic?
If you're near enough, it's not a big travel, please come on in, sir. We definitely, I'd check with Dr. Magoon, possibly. He has the time and the space, and he also gets to be supervised by me, poor guy. So, anyway, might check with him.
Okay, I'm sorry. The doctor's name again was?
Magoon.
Magoon. And can I ask one other quick question?
Well, we'll have to wait till after the break, sir. We've gone past the break, so please hang in there and make the question short, too, because Steve and David are waiting.
In the February issue of the Green Medicine Newsletter, the supplement strontium is explained in great detail. Studies show that strontium helps to improve bone density, decrease tooth sensitivity, and can help treat osteoporosis in a natural, healthy way. You may be wondering what to look for in a strontium supplement. Based on research, it appears that between 340 and 680 milligrams of elemental strontium works best. The smaller quantities will help prevent bone loss from occurring, while the larger doses can help treat osteoporosis. Talk to your doctor or schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. To read the full article and find out the ins and outs of strontium, subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter by visiting greenmedicinenewsletter.com. That's greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477. Schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. Call 602-252-4477. Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
The Tahoma Clinic is a premier holistic medical clinic established in 1973 by Dr. Jonathan V. Wright. Dr. Wright is a well-known pioneer in natural medicine, researcher, author, and speaker. The Tahoma Clinic has provided evidence-based natural treatments for thousands of patients. Located between Seattle and Tacoma, just 15 minutes from SeaTac Airport, the Tahoma Clinic provides a multifaceted approach to healthcare. Recommended therapies include bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, customized vitamin, mineral, amino acid, essential fatty acid, and botanical therapies. They offer non-invasive thermography screening for breast health, treatment for dry macular degeneration, therapies to support brain health, the Heidelberg Digestive Analysis to determine levels of stomach acid, plus advanced naturopathic care. They invite you to call 206-812-9988 to schedule an appointment or ask your specific questions. The Tahoma Clinic is looking forward to assisting you on your path to wellness.
You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Okay, we're going to go right over to Bob, and let's try to make it quick, Bob. We've got Steve and David waiting, so I'll shut up. You turn.
Okay, got that. Cellular senescence regarding things like senolytic activators, particularly if there's anything used, I think it's called venetoclax, a chemo drug, I guess, which sounds like research has been done with that. It's supposed to be very effective. Any comments?
Yeah, there's something out there in the health food store called carnosine. Carnosine goes around the body looking for senescent cells and cleans them up. It's found in nature. Hardly anybody reacts to it. I suppose it's possible to be allergic to anything. But why use that when, why use a chemotherapy patent medicine when it's not present in nature and therefore is much more likely to harm the human body? I just walk over to my health food store, get some carnosine. It's usually in the 500 or 1,000 milligrams. And I'll keep my fingers crossed. But nobody who's used it has told me it caused any problems, and it does. One of its functions is going around the body looking for senescent cells, sir.
Great. In fact, I've been using both L-carnosine and also acetyl L-carnosine, about 500 per each.
I'd go up on the carnosine by itself. The acetyl L has its own purposes. The carnosine is mostly purposed towards cleaning up those senescent cells.
So maybe it's... 1,000 milligrams? Sure.
Well, as far as I know, it won't hurt a thing, sir. I work with a lot of people who use 1,000 milligrams for this very purpose. Thanks for calling, sir. I best move on to Steve and David. Sorry. Okay, so Steve there?
Okay, Dr. Wright, yes. I have a question on allergies. Both my grandchildren in their mid-teens have allergies. One has asthma and spring allergies. The other has some rather severe allergies to gluten and other edibles, some nuts, some types of fish. How does the clinic go about determining and treating these?
Well, actually, the clinic doesn't have to get into this unless you want them to. If you call Meridian Valley Laboratory, let's see if I can remember their number, 206-209, and I believe it's 4200, but it's Meridian Valley Laboratory. What they send out is a test called a blood spot, and yes, it does involve poking somebody in the finger and putting it on this little piece of paper and a piece of cardboard and sending it back to the lab. But what one gets back in the mail, usually 10 days to 2 weeks later, is this whole list of foods, and it tells you in relative degrees which ones you're really, really badly allergic to and which ones you're medium allergic to and which ones you're a little bit allergic to. It's all on that test, and it's so simple and easy to read and interpret that one can do it on their own. Now, after seeing that, sometimes it's, oh, my gosh, I better see a doctor anyway. I've got so darn many allergies, and start working on how to settle this down. But still, that's the first step that a lot of people use to find out what they're allergic to and let me, and therefore get away from it if they can. And let me put in two other things here, sir. One, there are foods cross-reactive with gluten that you would never think. They're not grains or anything, but you'd never think about them being triggering the same problems as gluten. And secondly, there's that candida thing that lives in the guts of most of us, since most of us have been doused with antibiotics a lot. And that also can mimic gluten. So a person can still be having gluten reactivities even though they're not eating gluten, sir. So anyway, you might want to try the first thing, step first, or just check in and see a physician. And I got one last thing to say before I shut up and listen to David, and that is asthma is curable over 80% of the time. I am not kidding you, sir. We've done it time after time. In fact, I found what the real remedy was when my son developed asthma at age 2 and spent a lot of time at the University of Washington Library since there wasn't any internet access to National Library of Medicine at that time. And we got his asthma cured and cleared up with just 3 months of treatment. And we've applied that same treatment to all the other kids with asthma, and over 80% of them get better within 2 months. And they don't have wheezing anymore.
Great. Can you quickly say how the clinic would treat the food reactive allergies?
Well, there's two ways. One is just don't eat them, and that's pretty simple. And for the big bad ones, it's usually that. The second thing is called desensitization. Now, you visit with any allergist, and they can desensitize ragweed and this and that, but you can also desensitize foods. That doesn't usually happen at the allergist's office. They're usually into the inhaled allergies. But things can be desensitized, sir. And no kidding, they're desensitized by starting with tiny, tiny doses of whatever the thing is and then gradually ramping them up. Sounds like homeopathy, doesn't it? Did you know that the American Academy of Allergists was started by two homeopathic doctors and run regular MD in the 1920s? Isn't that interesting?
Would I shock you if I said I didn't know it?
I know it doesn't get much publicity, sir.
No. Okay. Thanks very much, Doctor. Go on to David. Appreciate you all the time.
And thank you for calling, sir. And thank you for... Oh, David. Oh, dear. Sounds like we don't have time to get to David here. David, if you call us back next week, you'll be first in line. I'm sorry, sir. I gotta shut up.